Grand Canyon University makes earning your degree possible with over 130 academic programs for traditional campus students, with more than 80 bachelor's programs offered online. GCU provides you with the personal support you need, from complimentary unofficial transcript evaluations within 24 business hours to scholarships, academic support, and your GCU graduation team led by your own university counselor. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
This episode is brought to you by Major Spoilers VIP members.
VIP stands for Very Important People, and their small monthly contributions ensure that this podcast remains free for all of you.
If you would like to become a bronze, silver, or gold VIP member, go to members.majorspoilers.com for more information.
I sure do thank you for your support. Now, here's your show.
Welcome to Dueling Reviews, a podcast where two guys sit down with one comic and we go into it in detail. I'm Steven Schleicher, over there giggling to himself, Matthew Hello. Peterson.
I'm not giggling to myself. I'm giggling to everybody.
Giggling to everybody.
I am the atomic-powered robot.
Hey, I know. Why don't we review Legendary Star-Lord number 11 this week that has absolutely nothing to do with Legendary Star-Lord Peter Quill?
Or as I like to call it, Kitty Pryde number 42, starring the legendary Star-Lord.
No, guest starring everyone else and
Cameo
Star-Lord.
Cameo guest starring the legendary Star-Lord.
All right, so I didn't know when we went into this that this was the penultimate issue of the Black Vortex series.
Ooh,
where, yes, it is, because the
Big
next
word.
One is Black Vortex Omega, which comes out, I believe, next week
Omega.
Or 2 weeks from now or something like that.
Omega.
Sam Humphries is the writer. Paco Medina is the pencils. Juan Velasco is inks. David Curiel, there we go, is the
Krell
colorist
boy.
On this. No, don't say it. Don't call him a Krell boy. So essentially, there's this world called Spartax.
Spartax. This is Spartax.
And it's been encased in amber. But apparently when you're in amber, encased in amber, you're still able to breathe and be alive because the brood want to eat through the amber and lay their eggs in the entire population of Spartax's head.
They're perfectly kept because amber is the color of the energy. Whoa. That's a joke that Steven won't get, ladies and gentlemen. If you got that joke, send us an email at podcast.
Yeah, I don't care. Because
hey,
so this is a big,
is a good band.
No, I'm sure it is. I listen
okay,
to 311.
Yeah, okay.
This is a this. I mean, from a story perspective, if this were just the Black Vortex series number 12, this would all be well and good. It's
right.
got a great cast of characters. It's got. I didn't know that Storm was back to being Mohawk Storm. But apparently, it's got young X-Men Jean Grey in it.
Right.
It's got Miss Marvel in it. It's got Star-Lord in it. It's got a cast of thousands. It's got a 12 billion year old being who looks pretty good in spandex.
Yeah, she's an elder of the universe, like the collector and the pursuer and the tax collector. And
the problem is, if you use the Black Vortex, you gain the power of these celestial gods. You gain infinite universal power. Yet
infinite power.
Infinite power with a catch. You go crazy mad. Right. And we know that if Jean Grey uses it, she's going to go even more wackadoo than what happened in Phoenix. Saga.
Yeah, we've seen Jean Grey do the whole space
and
god
she
did, thing.
She didn't need infinite space god powers to destroy planets.
Yes, she did. She had the Phoenix Force.
Oh, but yeah, I thought the Phoenix Force was just a force. I didn't think it was a universal god level force. I just thought it was one of those magical power things.
No, it's universal god level.
Oh, is it? Okay. Well, then we know what she's going to do with it. So obviously she can't use the Black Vortex. So it's up to Peter Quill to step up and say, hey, yo, let's see what happens when a farm boy from Kansas or Colorado tries this out.
Hey, I'm a Star Lord.
Sup, bro.
Sup, bro.
So I guess when you just look into the Black Vortex, you get a glimpse of what your life is going to be if you're given the power. Is that what happens?
Most of what I know about the Black Vortex comes from Zach's reviews on the Major Spoilers podcast.
Oh, yeah.
And from what Zach said, when you look in the Black Vortex, you get a cool new costume. And apparently also other things are happening. But yes.
Infinite Star-Lord, cosmic power, itty-bitty living space.
Star-Lord looks into the black vortex, which is basically a mirror.
Yeah.
And in the black vortex mirror, he sees what he's going to become or what he could become.
Right.
Who he is. He sees himself he being Stardouche.
Yeah.
Right. Stardouche is how I refer to
there
him.
There you go.
And he says, wait, no, I can't, because he sees himself cheating on and losing his current lover, Kitty Pryde.
Well, it's important to know. In love with Colossus.
Colossus. No, Kitty Pryde is serial dating every superhero named Peter, because there was Peter Rasputin, Colossus, right. And a Kitty Pryde dated Peter Parker in the universe.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This is Peter Quill. Really?
Man, I hope
Kitty Pryde just loves Peter.
I hope X-Men never crosses over with Ghostbusters.
You know, Kitty Pryde and Venkman would have a lot to talk about.
So,
but
ultimately,
no, I think she'd probably like Ray Stantz a little better.
So ultimately, Kitty says that for whatever reason, her plan B is for her to do it.
Right.
Because she hates space travel. So because she hates being out in space, that means that she is the only one that can endure the black vortex, which makes absolutely no sense. I mean, she's been in space before. Didn't she phase out an entire planet and get stuck in a giant bullet for a whole bunch of years?
Maybe that's why she hates space.
I certainly hate space for that reason.
The thing about it that's important to note is that this is a new school Kitty Pryde. This is like the big time new Kitty Pryde, who is actually the professor now.
What do you mean the professor?
At the Xavier
now?
School. Well, Professor Xavier is dead. You knew that.
Right, right. Cyclops killed him.
Somebody killed him. Cyclops or the Red Skull, who knows. But
oh, yeah, that's right. Red Skull killed him.
Kitty had gone to the academy and was now the headmaster teaching the young X-Men.
How does she get to be the headmaster? She's only a teenager herself.
No, she's like 22 now.
What?
Yeah, the character's been around for 45 years, so they let her age 3. It's the Marvel Universe, dude.
So Storm isn't – what about Beast? Is Beast not there? Why isn't he not the head of the school?
Beast is one of the guys that's there, but you'll note that Beast is one of the guys who's gone all vortexicized.
Oh, has he? Okay.
Yeah, he's all crazy and woo-hoo-hoo.
Why not Cyclops?
Because Cyclops is not at the school. Cyclops is off leading his X-Men band of X guys.
Wow, I'm just really surprised with it. She's the professor.
Yeah, she's Professor K.
Huh, interesting. Does she have the power to say, to me, my ex-peoples?
Oh, I'm sure she does. But she probably says it in Yiddish. I don't know.
I don't know. So she just, for whatever reason, says that she is the only one that can handle this incredibly cosmic power.
She's the one who knows she can handle it. Which is, the problem with this issue.
She says, I hate space.
Right.
So why give her this power that she can destroy things that she really hates?
Ooh, that's deep, Ogre.
Space is not my scene. It's not my jam. That's why it's got to be me. Damn it. Why did I have to be right? To be concluded in Black Vortex Omega number one.
It's got to be me.
From the story perspective, as this stands as the Black Vortex series, I thought this was a fine issue, even though I know nothing about what's going on. Thankfully, Marvel has decided that no matter what, we're always putting in these previously in pages at the very front of the book, because even someone who's coming in at this point in the story can know what's going on.
Or could be new. And that's a good thing to remember.
Well, and that's my biggest complaint with DC right now. They've got this huge convergence event going on, and they could be putting in these previously in things, but they refuse to do it because that's what the competition is doing. Apparently, there was one of the editors over, I think, on one of the Vertigo titles put a previously in and was subsequently told, oh, no, we do not do that here. And you are not going to do that in this book. And the thing was, that person was previously over at Marvel as an editor.
Was it Katie Kubert?
I don't remember who it was.
Okay.
But I just remember seeing it in one of the other sites or a conversation somewhere where they were chastised for using the previously in gimmick that Marvel and Dynamite and Image and every other publishing company is starting to use.
Right. And
because it makes sense and it's welcoming for new readers.
Every issue is somebody's first
exactly.
issue. So, I can definitely see why you wouldn't want to emulate or seem to be emulating your major competition.
Okay, listen. Listen.
Yes.
Why then are they printing their comic pages at 28 pages? Why are they the same size as every other comic book publisher? Why
are you arguing with me?
I'm just trying to show how dumb this argument is of, well, we don't do that because we don't want to be compared to everyone else. Hey, listen, guys. If you go back and look at the top 300 comics sold in the month of March, the only book to crack the top 10 for DC was number 9, and it was Batman Arkham Knight number 1. The next DC book doesn't show up until Harley Quinn number 15 in the number 14 position, and then it's not until Detective Comics coming in at number 20. That's pretty sad.
Wow, that's way down.
Yeah. That's really way down. I mean, Image Comics had more comics in the top 20 than DC did. All I'm saying is you need to be embracing new readers, and Marvel does it right by having this previously in page in there.
Right.
And you're right. Every comic, as Stan Lee said, every comic is somebody's first comic. Mm-hmm. And me stepping into this, I knew exactly what was going on, even though I don't know who Spartex is. I don't know who the Brood are necessarily. I don't have a big background understanding of what they do.
Are the Brood? Have you seen Alien?
Yeah, they're aliens. Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, they're alien.
So that works for me. And from an overall, story perspective, this issue was great. This issue was just fine. I mean, it was a little tad of melodramatic.
Yeah, well, it's Cosmic Marvel, I mean.
Yeah, yeah. And it's going to be a little wacky just because you got a 12-billion-year-old being hissing at her face at you the entire time, screaming, you can't handle this. I couldn't handle
this. You can't handle
What makes you think you're going to be able to handle this?
I am an elder of the universe. You're just a stinky, stinky freshman.
Yeah, she doesn't even talk like Yoda. That's the worst part.
No, she talks like Jerry Lewis a little bit.
The Glaven, the thing, and the nice lady.
So, I mean, from a story perspective, I rather enjoyed this book. From the art perspective, I thought the art was fine. From a Star-Lord, this is the title of a Star-Lord book, this issue was failed completely on every level.
This is an issue of Star-Lord's book. It is an issue of Star-Lord's book. Even though the Star-Lord's kind of an afterthought.
Yeah, this is the Gary Shandling episode where Gary was on vacation and all the other characters had to do their bit parts. And the only Gary Shandling we heard was Gary Shandling calling in and leaving messages on the answering machine.
Which I think that's fine. The problem with these crossover madness stories is exactly that. You've got to make it work. To use the Tim Gunn expression, you've got to make it work within a framework of a larger story being told. And in this case, it kind of shot down this being an issue of Star-Lord.
Yeah.
This is actually an issue of Black Vortex.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And if I would have known that going in, I probably would not have said we should do this one as the book for this week because there is that much baggage of what Black Vortex is. And knowing that it's the penultimate issue makes it even worse because it's like, hey, you're coming into the Daytona 500 on lap 499.
I'm in the Vortex.
So, I mean, that's the only problem. But, I mean, it was a fine story. The writing I thought was okay. I mean, the plan B doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Plan A doesn't make a whole lot of sense. The overall plan
is we don't
a
have
little
a
bit risky. And as much as I enjoy the fact that there are a lot of characters to play with, there are a lot of characters in this issue.
Yeah.
And very few of them are Star-Lord.
Right.
Most of them are
Star-Lord
someone else.
Gets a scene, right? I mean, Star-Lord gets a scene. We get to see Star-Lord with immense cosmic powers, but we get to see it through the eyes of Kitty Pryde.
Sup, bro?
It would have been really different.
I'm Star-Lord, bro.
It would have been really interesting, since this is a Star-Lord issue, to either double up on the inner monologue,
right,
and have both Kitty and Star-Lord doing their own bit, or just have Star-Lord just doing it all.
Star-Lord doing all the monologue?
Yeah, because then from his perspective, he gets to see what's going on, and then he gets to have that total shock moment of, no, Kitty, no. When she,
you know,
says,
I have that shock moment all the time. I am constantly saying, "No, Kitty, no, get away from there, Kitty, bad Kitty."
So, I mean, I don't know. It's just,
it's,
I don't know. I mean, I give this issue a thumb up. I mean, I thought it was a fine issue. I would probably give it 3.5 stars. I didn't think it was the best issue I've ever read. I mean, it's certainly better than that other book that I read today.
Did it rhyme with Blunvergence?
Consplurgence? Yes.
Tom Servos. That's what.
What'd you think? Was this a good issue? Not a good issue? What kind of a rating would you give it, or would you recommend
it
to other people?
It wasn't the best for me, mostly because there was a lot going on that you were kind of expected to have a feeling for, and I really didn't. I think was too much going on.
Yeah, definitely.
There was just too much for me, and I get it. It's a big crossover, and we got to do big crossovers, and that's a thing now. But there's a way to do a crossover without having, you know, the example that I always give is when Peter David was writing X-Factor back in the day, they had a crossover issue of X-Factor. At the time, X-Factor's membership was like Quicksilver and Multiple Man and Strong Guy, right?
Yeah.
This issue of X-Factor stars Cable and Wolverine.
Yeah.
There is not a single appearance of anyone from X-Factor in the issue of X-Factor.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, is what happened with Star-Lord number 11. And it's kind of, I won't say a failure on the part of the creators, but it's definitely a misstep from my thought process because, you know, it's supposed to be a Star-Lord book. He's got the whole $50 billion movie thing going on.
Yeah.
Maybe a little more Star-Lord in your Star-Lord is what I'm saying.
I would agree.
With it. I suppose, as comic books go, it's definitely, of all the comics I read today, it's certainly one of them.
Yeah.
And I think that's important.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, what'd you think of the art? There were some couple of panels and pages where I was like, but otherwise I thought it was okay. I think too many times comic book artists, and I don't know why this is, but they tend to draw people with their butts sticking out. You notice that? I mean, Kitty,
sexy.
But I don't know. There's one panel towards the end where Kitty Pryde is just standing there, and she's standing like she's pointing her butt out for some weird reason.
She wants us to see her butt.
But it doesn't make any sense.
That's why her name is Kitty Porn. Kitty Pryde. Sorry.
I mean, I can see the whole jumping and the kicking and the, you know, jumping with your legs spread and all that kind of stuff. That's fine. But just standing around and your butt sticking out for everybody to look at? I mean, of course, that's when I thought she was still 13. So, I mean.
Yeah, Kitty's in her early 20s now.
All right, then it's fine.
She's allowed to drink beer and have the SEXs with people.
I don't know. I just, some of the panels were just a little odd for my, I just thought, well, that's a weird way to stand, or that's a weird way to pose, or why are you screaming when you're just having a simple conversation with someone?
Why don't you put some pants on, Star-Lord?
Yes. And Star-Lord, why is your weight? No, so that was fine, I guess. I don't know. If you've been reading Black Vortex, certainly you want to pick this up because it does have a major plot point. If you're just a Star-Lord fan, this is probably not a place to jump in. And it is also not really a Star-Lord book, in my opinion.
I would agree with you. I would say that this is entirely skippable unless you're a completist for either Black Vortex or a volume of Star-Lord. So,
Yep. And I don't remember how many issues of Star-Lord Black Vortex covers. I'm going to guess 2 or 3.
Well, I would say at this point, this is issue 11.
Yeah.
So obviously at some point before this.
Well, and I don't remember. In fact, go to the very last page. It tells you what all the Black Vortex issues were, and you can see how many Star-Lord issues.
The vortices. The Black Vortexes. Here I am looking at the Vortex. So, yeah, at least 2 issues. Star-Lord number 9 and 10 were part of the Black Vortices.
Yeah, so there you go. So, yeah.
Vortices, of course, being the plural of Vortex.
Wonder how they're going to – certainly they wouldn't collect those issues together in a 6-issue trade. That wouldn't make a lot of sense.
It
would just be collected in the Black Vortex trade.
Well.
Yeah. Anyway.
It's hard to say.
Yep. Next week from Dark Horse Comics, Art of the Uncharted Trilogy hardcover. Just a bunch of pages, people looking longingly out into the horizon.
I'm Uncharted.
Buffy the Vampire Season 10. Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Season 10, number 14, comes out. Creepy Comics, yep. number 20. Let's see. Bunch of merchandise type stuff. Halo Escalation.
That's where the money
is. Yeah, they've got some Frank Frazetta, Death Dealer Stein, Frankenstein Underground, number 2, the Game of Thrones figures, Joffrey figure. There's some playing cards of Game of Thrones, and now that the new season is out, you'll want to grab some of that stuff so you can go have game night with your friends.
Playing cards of Game of Thrones.
Ooh, cool. There is a Legend of Korra Aang Memorial statue. You know that giant statue that's out in the bay? It's not going to be quite as big as, you know, Aang is dead in Legend of Korra, yes.
What?
But
spoilers!
He's like three generations later. But that statue is $150. $150 wow. bucks for that. Oh, but, you know, Aang does come back in one of those connecting with all the other...
dream sequences?
Whatever things. Those people are.
Firebenders?
The one and onlys.
Waterbenders?
No, it's the one where they're the chosen ones.
The airbenders?
I forget what they are.
The avatars.
Avatar, that's what it is.
The name of the show. You forgot.
No, it's just called, I just know it as Legend of Korra. I never, you know, honestly, I think I watched only like three or four, maybe five episodes of the original Avatar series.
It's actually pretty good.
I know. I've heard it's really good, but I just have not found the time nor the desire. And really, I can't get the kids into wanting to watch the series. Because if I could get them, I would think that the youngest would be all up on Aang's crazy shenanigans.
Shenanigans.
Where he's spinning around on the ball of wind and everything. I think he'd really get into it. But for some reason, I just can't get them. They'd rather watch like Paw Patrol and, I don't know, Gherkin and Jerkin or whatever is some show on Nickelodeon.
What?
I don't know what it is. It's two stupid, nerdy kids. It's just really dumb humor.
Bucket and Skinner?
Yes, probably. Speaking of Bucket and Skinner, the Smosh movie comes out this July. It really made my day to hear that. Tomb Raider number 15 comes out next week. Hey, my week's looking up. Batman 66 number 22. And then we've got Convergence Week continuing.
Convergence Week.
I'm trying to figure out which one of these I really, really want to read. I'd really like to read Flash. I'll probably read all of them, but I'd like to read just Flash number 1. But next week we've got Convergence number 3. And I think it's subtitled, Which Kid Are We Going to Kill This Week? Then we've got Adventures of Superman number 1, Batman and the Outsiders, Flash, Green Lantern Corps, Hawkman, Justice League of America, New Teen Titans, Superboy and the Legion, Swamp Thing, and Wonder Woman all coming out next week.
I'm kind of looking forward to Superboy and the Legion.
And I'm kind of looking forward to that, and I'm looking forward to, like I said, Flash, maybe even Adventures of Superman. I don't know. It just depends on which Superman. Matthew and I had a big, long discussion before we hit record tonight over it really doesn't matter because they're just taking people from wherever they like, even though it doesn't fit into the Multiversity Guidebook, and even though it doesn't fit into any kind of, you know, these Earths or these cities that Brainiac has pulled out from existence.
And they're also doing that wonderful thing where they're like, here's the characters you know and love from years past.
Yes.
Also, they've spent a year under the dome and they're completely different from anything you've ever seen. Hooray!
Some of that's good. I mean, some of it's really good. The Batgirl issue was really, really good.
I like the Nightwing Oracle issue, but
I haven't read that one, but I did read your review of that where Nightwing discovers Mr. Freeze, and he's just basically not
Mr.
even
Freeze
into
is a broken man. He's like, just take me in.
What's cool is
life is worthless.
In the Batman and Robin issue that also came out last week, he shows up with Penguin and Killer Croc and Man-Bat in the Gotham City park where Ivy has turned it into a big garden to feed the populace, and she's you know, kind of reforming herself, and then they all start fighting, and Mr. Freeze is just like, he just stops in the middle of the battle. He's like, you know what, this doesn't even matter anymore. And then he just, I guess you guess
he just all kinda, over the place.
Yeah, he just kind of wanders off, and but then it's picked up again in Nightwing, and it's kind of touched on there too.
We'll be even, dead in a week.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, so you got a bunch of Convergence coming out next week.
Do we want to do a Convergence?
Ah.
That noise brought to you by Convergence.
I wonder which
Let's see what else we got.
Yeah, maybe we'll come back. And who's got Flash? Do you have Flash? I think you have Flash listed. For
either you do or I do.
I'm pretty sure I don't because I looked at it this afternoon. And I was like, oh, I guess I'm not doing Flash. Angry Birds number 10 comes out from IDW Publishing. Creeple People number 3. I don't think that has to do with Sheeple People from Settlers of Catan or anything.
My God, I hope not.
Drones
Those
number 1.
Those things are terrifying.
Fly Outbreak number 2. That's the Fly story.
Fly.
That's the sequel to The Fly. Infinite Loop number 1. I wonder if that's a time travel story.
You think?
I don't know. It sounds like it. Littlest Pet Shop Spring Cleaning One Shot. That's an $8 book.
The Littlest. Oh, but The Littlest Pet Shop.
Hey, it's. You know what? Here's the thing. So I want to. Some people wonder why. For years and years and years, it's only been in the last 15 months or so, maybe even the last 14 months, that we've been dedicating every Tuesday to nothing but sneak peeks because, first of all, the publishers oftentimes will not let us run sneak peeks until the day before. Some publishers don't, like Oni and Valiant really don't care. Boom gets it to us late on Monday evening, so or late Monday afternoon, so it ends up being posted on Tuesday anyway. Mm-hmm. But people have maybe wondering, and here's a little behind-the-scenes stuff.
Ooh.
You used to, Stephen, post all of Image Comics stuff under one post of sneak peeks from Image Comics.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you might think about it, and that's all well and good. Because, hey, if I'm looking for all of the Image books, I'm going to find them. But unless the SEO is lined up just right, if you're looking, for example, My Little Pony from IDW Publishing, and it's in the giant 50 issues coming out from IDW Publishing. Doing a search for My Little Pony Friendship is Magic number 32 sneak peek or whatever is not going to yield that in a search engine very easily.
Right.
But if you put each one of those in its own post,
right,
and each one of those goes out into the social media as its own little tweet or post or whatever, then people are going to find it a lot easier. It's also going to show up in the search engines a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until probably this time last year when I did do that with one of the My Little Pony issues. And suddenly we had a huge bump in traffic because all the bronies found out that there was
a
series
pony
called
people could find us.
Yeah, exactly. So and that really struck it home for me. I had gone to the New Media Expo a year before and I was talking with a guy who runs a very popular sports site. And he's like, oh, man, you need to be posting those as individual posts, not as a conglomerated post. People will find stuff a lot easier. And I didn't really believe him. I did it for about 2 months and then boom, the bronies found it. And it just really solidified that, yes, this is the best way to serve your reader. So I know that Tuesday gets filled up with a lot of sneak peeks and you're probably tired of seeing all those flood out to you. But like we were saying earlier about Stan Lee and everybody's issue or every issue is somebody's first issue. Every sneak peek is somebody's first sneak peek into that issue. So that's why we do it. And it's just a greater service to a greater good, even though the one or two of you or, you know, 100,000 of you who are dedicated spoilerites who jump into the site, see that stuff on your feed all the time. So that's kind of a little behind the scenes there on that.
Little Hollywood stuff.
Yeah, speaking of My Little Pony, My Little Pony, Fiendship is Magic, Nightmare Moon, number 4.
Nightmare Moon.
Yes.
She's a nightmare.
Samurai Jack, number 18. Like Uncle Scrooge. Ooh, this is what we should review next week. Uncle Scrooge, number 1 from
really?
IDW Publishing.
Done and done.
Yeah,
that'd be cool. A new Uncle Scrooge. I didn't even know
I'm hoping that it's not a repeat. I'd have to go back and look and see what they had originally solicited this for. But IDW is now running. It's gotten the license from Disney somehow. I don't understand why. Disney is really weird in how they license their properties. You know, Disney used to have their own publishing company, and then they were doing stuff with Gemstone Books for like forever. Mm-hmm. And then they yanked that. And then Boom Studios had a bunch of the Disney properties. And then when Marvel was acquired, suddenly Boom lost that property. When Star Wars was acquired, Dark Horse lost that property. And yet IDW Publishing is coming out. Now they're suddenly running a whole bunch of Mickey Mouse and Disney comic books. And Disney's not running it through Marvel, which makes not a whole lot of sense. I don't understand that.
I can see the sense behind that. Because Star Wars as a Marvel comic is one thing. Marvel doesn't have a really good track record of all ages kids stuff.
Well, but
you don't think Marvel kids magazines.
But here's the thing. Marvel is publishing these comics based on the cartoon shows. Marvel is publishing Disney books. The this week came out this week was the second issue of the Big Thunder Mountain Adventure series. And they previously had the Haunted Mansion series that are all based on the Disney property. It's just weird. I'm glad IDW has it because IDW is a fine company and they do good things. And I want to see what they do with Uncle Scrooge. But I can't remember if this is a repeat of an old Uncle Scrooge book or brand new stuff. But we'll look at it either way. It may be a retro dueling review. Image Comics has Beyond Belief number 1, Chew 48. Chrononauts number 2 came out this week, but next week you can get the first issue in a second printing. Lazarus number 16, Manifest Destiny number 14, Satellite Sam number 13. That's a mature readers, a lot of mature reader books. How many mature reader books are coming out from Image next week? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 books coming out of the 20 books listed. 12 of them are mature reader books. Marvel Comics has All New X-Men number 40, Amazing Spider-Man 17.1. Ooh, Matthew's favorite series. The point one series. Black Widow point number 17. Avengers Magazine number... Ooh, a bunch of Avengers books coming out next week. I wonder why. Guardians of the Galaxy number 26. Howard the Duck number 1 gets a second printing. Hulk 15. Inhuman Special number 1. Hey, with all the events going on over at Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., about time that we get an Inhuman book. Let's see, what else? Man, I'm kind of bitter tonight. I don't know why I'm so full of snark and bitter and hatred. Sorry, everybody. I really am. I shouldn't be this hateful and spiteful, but I just got worked up over just things that shouldn't have been that much of a stumbling block. Star Wars number 4 comes out next week. True Believers Armor Wars number 1. True Believers Infinity Gauntlet number 1. Wolverines number 15. I think that's the one where Jennifer Grey and Matt Damon finally get a make out.
Matt Damon.
Adventure Time number 39. Ballistics trade paperback. Betty and Veronica Jumbo Comics Double Digest. Black Hood number 3. Have you been reading that series, the Black Hood series from Archie?
I haven't yet. I know that issue 1 is already out. I'm really looking forward to The Shield, which I think is out this week.
Fox came out this week and Sabrina came out this week.
Shield number 1 comes out this week. I'm almost sure of it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Death Defying Dr. Mirage gets a trade paperback. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes number 6. Yep. Divinity number 3. God is Dead number 33.
Wasn't there a movie that said God is not dead?
I don't know.
And then 33 issues of comics going, no, totally, man.
King Flash Gordon. King always gets
King
stumbled.
Flash.
King Flash. Gorgon. No, it's King. It's King Features. It's the King Features Syndicate stuff. Flash Gordon, number 3.
Right.
Ugh. Legendary Green Hornet, number 3. Legendary
King Flash
Red
is what
Sonya, number 3.
When Wally West becomes the world's fastest Elvis impersonator.
Yes. Ninjak, number 2.
Like a rumor.
Roman Ritual number 4, Room for Love hardcover graphic novel.
I think Roman Ritual is
the
Intercontinental
champion.
For
Scott
right
Pilgrim
now.
Fans. Scott yes. Pilgrim fans. Next week they release the 6th volume, the heart in hardcover, and it's colored. So for those of you who are wanting those colored volumes, this is the last volume of Scott Pilgrim in color.
Did they fix the cover drawing?
I don't remember.
Volume 6 is the one where Scott literally seems to grow a pair, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah, no, I don't. I thought one of the girls was on the cover of that one.
Okay.
And the color one.
I thought 6 was the one where he had his sword of love.
I don't know.
This sounds terrible. I'm going to stop talking.
Let's see. Vamplet's Nightmare Nursery, number 1. What? Woodland Welfare Manifesto graphic novel. Zombie Tramp on Growing number 10. That is a mature reader comic.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what is coming up next week. I think Uncle Scrooge number 1 is the one.
Uncle Scrooge number 1. Sounds like a wiener to me.
Yep, definitely. All right, everybody. Anything else, Matthew? You know, Wonder Woman lost her director and found a director.
Who'd they find?
Oh, you would ask me that.
Is it a female director?
I don't know. Let's look here. Let's see. New Pokemon manga titles. That's not it.
Brett Ratner.
Oh, did I delete that?
It's to find the answer, faithful spoilerheads, visit majorspoilers.com.
I must have accidentally hit delete or something on that.
Oh, snap. We're real sorry, kids.
No, here, I'll find it.
We'll see you next week.
I'm not even going to edit this out here. I'll find this real quick. For some reason, my computer is super slow today.
While Steve has his computer, we have time for a short break.
No.
Why did Steven throw the butter out the window, faithful spoilerites? He wanted to see butter fly.
Well, that's why I flew the threw the clock out the window.
No, that's so you can see time
fly. Yeah, yeah.
Fly, got it. Yeah.
Oh yes, so it is a female director.
What's her name?
Sources tell Variety that Patty Jenkins has been tapped to take over the job.
Patty Jenkins.
Patty Jenkins, you may know her from...
From the Patty Jenkins show, where she was Patty, and also her cousin Kathy.
She was the one that was going to direct Thor the Dark World, but left that project because of creative differences.
Oh, this does not necessarily bode well. What else has Patty Jenkins directed?
Most recently in TV, directing episodes of The Killing and Betrayal. Her feature debut was The Critically Acclaimed Monster in 2003, which won Charlize Theron an Oscar.
I remember that. That was a pretty good film.
That was a pretty good film. So there you go. Patty Jenkins.
I always get it confused with Monster's Ball, which has Halle Berry
in it, which is really a different kind of movie.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go, everybody. Those are the comics out next week. Nothing else going on. Thank you so much for listening. Keep reading comics. We will, too. And hopefully we'll love them.
That's right.
And if we don't, that's okay, too, because there will be more next week.
Yay.
Excelsior!
This podcast is copyright 2015 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.